The gospel lesson today is from Romans. No surprise. We're continuing in Romans. I've had a long, long journey with Paul. And he's not done with me yet. It's in page 159 in your pew Bibles. Hear the word. I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accused and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They're Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Children of Abraham. Children of Abraham. Well, the Jew in Jesus' day counted themselves as righteous. Why? Because they could draw their genealogical heritage back to Abraham, and they saw the promise there. That promise, that covenant that God made with Abraham so many generations before. And they knew how it had been fulfilled in King David and the power and the glory and the majesty that was Israel in David's time, King David's time, and King Solomon's time. But they've fallen on hard times. They've been taken away into captivity. They've been brought back. And now they're subjugated by Rome. There's no glory like they had under King David. There's no glory like they had under King Solomon. But Jesus is telling them, has told them, that God has remained faithful. And what did the Jews do? They crucified him. Well, they took the Romans out and blamed them for doing it. But it was the Jew, it was the leader of the Jewish people who cried out for Jesus' blood when Pilate was willing to release him. They cried out for who? Barabbas. What did they say to do with Jesus? Crucify him. And when Pilate washed his hands of the blood of that innocent man, they said, on us be his blood, and on our children. Paul's writing to the book of to the Romans, the church in Rome, in anguish, in heartache, because Paul, like Jesus, like Peter, was a Jew first. They'd been brought up in the tradition of the law. They'd been brought up in the tradition of the Pentateuch. They'd been brought up in the tradition of the temple. They were Jewish. And what did they do? The people of Judaism, the leaders of Judaism, rejected Christ Jesus. They rejected Christ as a Savior. And Paul says, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people. Paul is saying, I would rather I be counted a sinner and cast accursed than have my people lose this connection with God. And that's what's happened, because they've rejected God. Now, not all of them. This is the beauty of it. Not all of the Jews rejected God. Just as there was a remnant that stayed loyal, that stayed faithful to God. There's always been that remnant. That's the remnant that Paul speaks of. So that God's not given up on them. And because God's not given up on them, He's going to find a way for that remnant to be restored. But the beauty is, Paul is speaking to the church in Rome, who are Jews, but they're becoming Christians. They were Jewish tradition. They were Jewish, brought up as Jews, but they're also brought up as Gentiles, some of them, without the history, without the dietary restrictions, without the knowledge of the Torah and the Pentateuch. But they're brought into a right relationship with God. How? By the grace of God. They're grafted into this tree of life. They become children of Abraham. You and I become children of Abraham because of what God has done. Last week, when we were talking about Romans 8, and I said, we don't know how to pray. But yet we know the Scriptures tell us to pray without ceasing. As Terry and I were talking, it was like, well, I meant to say, not that you don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray for what's best for us because we don't have a perfect grasp with the future. We don't have a perfect knowledge of what's best for us. So we don't really know how to pray for the best things. But that doesn't relieve us of the responsibility to pray. And that Holy Spirit is going to come in and help us pray. So first and foremost, we do pray. Scripture tells us to pray without ceasing. We're supposed to be in conversation with God. We're not supposed to be in a position where we put ourselves outside of that conversation, because that would be a terrible, terrible, terrible loss. So we pray without ceasing, recognizing that it's God who's going to answer that prayer. And He's going to answer that prayer in a way that's best for us because God knows best for us. It's God through Christ Jesus who was born, died, gave Himself up for us, was crucified, buried, and who took back up His life, ascended into heaven, and is going to come back and restore us. God does all of it for us. Just as He did for that first century Christians who saw, heard, believed, and walked with Him, 2,000 years later, He still has that promise. 2,000 years later, He still makes that promise to each and every one of us. God loves us. Never doubt that. Paul is despairing because the people that he counted his brothers and sisters, his Jewish brothers and sisters, are missing an opportunity because they're staying with the law. They're not following under grace. They're counting themselves righteous by things that they can do, by living to the law. The law was given. You know, who do they call as the greatest son? The children of Abraham? The children of Abraham? Did Abraham have the Ten Commandments? No. Ten Commandments were given to Moses several generations after Abraham. But Abraham was counted righteous not because of he was following the law, but because he was faithful. He had faith in what God was doing. The Jews of Paul's day were counting themselves righteous because they could genealogically draw their lineage back to Abraham, or because they had been circumspect in their following of the letter of the law, the Torah, the Ten Commandments. What Paul is telling us is they were given all these things, and yet they rejected this foundation stone. They rejected Christ. They rejected this grace that Christ is giving to them because they want to be able to earn it. They think somehow they have to be able to earn it. That's not the case. God's love for us and His forgiveness is not something we can earn because He knows us perfectly. He knows everything we've done. And if we've done one bad thing, if we told one lie, if we've hurt one person, if we've stolen one thing, and even if we didn't do it, we coveted it. We wanted it so much so that we almost did everything we could to take it from someone else. Those are still sins. Those separate us from the ability to be in the presence of God. Were it not for the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, His body given, His blood shed, poured out, we're children of Abraham. We're children of promise. Not because of something I did. Not because of something my parents did. My mom's a saint. My mom was a saint. I guarantee you she was a saint. She prayed for me. She even tried to teach me to play the piano, but you do not want me to play the piano. I don't even think I can do chopsticks. But God is at work in each and every one of our lives. And because it's God's grace that extends out to you and I, we have the same legacy. We have the same legacy that every one of those Jews could count themselves as children of Abraham, the children of promise, the children of the law. Not just the letter of the law, the intent of the law. The law was given so that we would know how to act in relationship with God and in relationship to our brothers and sisters. We are all children of Abraham. And because we're children of Abraham, we are equally indeed children of God. Amen. Our hymn of invitation, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling, number 348. Number 348.